This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. We are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Well, this Sabbath is going to be a little different. I'm going to cover some different things and read some letters and mix some scriptures in with it and so forth, so keep you a little more informed on what's going on besides where we are here locally. Now, the first ad we had for the new book has been doing fairly good, not as good as the other one. So after seeing the Da Vinci movie on, what was it, Tuesday? Yeah, we went and saw the Da Vinci Code on Tuesday, and it ran at 11:15 in the morning. And so Doris called me down at the office and said, "You still want to see the Da Vinci Code?" I said, "Yes, yes, yes." I said, "Well, I'll meet you down there at the theater because it starts in 10 minutes. So I thought I would go get her, and I drove up the street, and as I was driving up the street, she was coming down, so I just turned around and followed her over to the movie. Well, when we got to the movie, there were only one other person plus the two of us at the movie at 11:15. See? Yeah. So anyway, we got into the movie, and since there was only one other person plus us in the movie, we could sit, you know, right at the right place, right in the middle, and everything like that. And the movie itself was technically well done. And it really was more of a mystery thriller because of all the action and everything in it. But it was also very subtle in planting things in people's minds. And they didn't quote one scripture in the whole movie. Not one. And the professor who was an expert in Gnostic and codes and things like this, he was the spokesman to denounce everything Catholic and to bring in readings of different Gnostic gospels and to say that Jesus is a hoax, and the church has been hiding this for centuries, and they don't want you to know that Mary Magdalene, when she escaped from Jerusalem after the crucifixion, was actually pregnant with Jesus' child, and she gave birth to a girl. And much of the movie was to promote feminism as well, and the feminine divine. So the whole story was that there were descendants coming down in time to the present day, and the leading heroine, actress, turned out to be one of the descendants of Jesus, supposedly. But the whole thing will end up being this. Staunch Protestants won't change their minds. Staunch Christians, Catholics won't change their minds. But what will happen is this. Those who are on the fence, it will tip them the other way. And those who disbelieve will reinforce their hatred for any form of Christianity, see. And as I mentioned before, which I mentioned in the letter that you're going to get next week, is that now all of these Gnostic gospels are coming out to challenge the beliefs of false Christianity. And lo and behold, what we'll find in all of these is that each one of these so-called Christian denominations have a form of Gnosticism in their belief. While they are not Gnostics, they have a form of it because they are following the occult Sunday and occult holidays, so therefore it's reflected in what they believe. And the closest religion today to real Gnosticism is Mormonism. That is almost strictly a Gnostic belief. So the thing that was portrayed in the movie was that the Roman Catholic Church is evil and wrong, and that's essentially true. But it was a clever ploy to knock out a whole bunch of Catholic lies and replace it with more occult lies, see, and to accuse them of hiding things, that they have hidden this. And that's what he kept saying. And he kept saying, this thing of Jesus is a divine Son of God, and his voice was about like that, was a hoax. See. So anyway, I decided, because of that, to change the ad for the book called Holidays, God's Holy Days, Which? And here's the headline that we'll have. Are Christian church leaders hiding the truth? Question mark. The Da Vinci Code alleges a massive cover-up by the Orthodox Church. Meanwhile, the real conspiracy in Christendom continues almost unnoticed. Any thinking Bible student can see right through the fantasies behind the Da Vinci Code, yet there is a very real cover-up taking place in Christendom that church leaders don't want you to know about. Do you know what vital truth the Orthodox Church is really hiding? In what is easily the greatest conspiracy of all times, it is well documented how subtle forces from the world of paganism were allowed to systematically replace the seventh-day Sabbath and the annual holy days of God with counterfeit holidays born of the occult, all with the approval of the Orthodox Church. Fred Coulter's new book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which explains how pagan occult holidays became Christianized by so-called early church fathers, while at the same time the seventh-day Sabbath and the holy days of the Bible were disparaged and rejected. Few indeed understand the true origins of today's widely accepted holidays, Halloween, Christmas, Easter, etc., and how such days became central to, quote, Christian, unquote, practice. Still fewer realize that the biblical holy days God gave to ancient Israel, festivals faithfully observed by the first century church, were recklessly cast aside over the centuries as obsolete by self-appointed Christian authorities. Coulter's new book not only unravels this ancient mystery, it goes on to show how the occult has been used by Satan the devil to lay the groundwork for his final end-time attempt to destroy mankind through a climactic grand deception. Both thorough and incisive, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which unflinchingly strips away numerous deceptions fostered onto an unsuspecting mankind by Orthodox Christendom. At the same time, Coulter leads the reader to the inescapable conclusion that God cannot be worshipped through pagan traditions, but in spirit and in truth only. And with all of its sensationalism, the Da Vinci Code is but a distraction, but Satan the devil who deceives the whole world is real. Could you too have been duped? That was written by Phil Neal, our new editor. He's had, he's done a lot of advertising copy in his editing career. So I thought we would do that just to see what sort of response we get with this kind of lead-in to it. It has virtually the same verbiage as the other one, but let's see what happens with it. We'll talk about the website and what's being done on it here in a little bit. Now, here's a little note. I'll just read some letters now, okay? Dear Brother Fred, I need to write you a few lines. I have been rereading the Christian Passover book and lack the last two chapters being done. I want to do the rest of it next Passover for a review. Thank you again for the wonderful book. All I can say is thank you for the Holy Day tapes, videos, and all the good stuff. I'm keeping up with it the best I can. Thank you so much. And that's from a widow in Texas. Now here's from a man in New Hampshire concerning Feast of Pentecost. Greetings. I pray that all is well with you and that you had a wonderful Feast of Pentecost. The two tape messages, Sabbath Before Pentecost and Sabbath 206, were, for me, the most clarifying and understandable presentations of the resurrections and end-time events that I have heard. Chronology and explanation open a greater understanding and answered questions that previously had me confused. These are messages that have to be listened to over and over, but really merit studying. Thank you for those messages. Then he's writing for other material. Here's from one from a woman in Harrisburg, Virginia. May this letter reach you and your company. This is written to York Publishing. In God's grace, I'm writing in regards to obtaining a free New Testament in its original order, a faithful version with commentary. This is my second attempt at asking for the above Bible. Earlier, I sent a letter through a third party to have someone on the outside mail a letter requesting the Bible. So he is in prison there. And we send out, anywhere from 5 to 10 New Testaments every week to different ones who are in prison. And I'm glad we're doing it because it's going to end up that many of the religious programs for rehabilitation of criminals is going to be struck down probably by the Supreme Court if they use state funds to do so. So we send it to them free. And the reason that we didn't get the book to him was because when a third party requests a book, we don't send it unless we have permission from the person to send it, because they don't know who it's coming from or what, and we didn't know the difference here. I remember we had one person write in and say, "Well, send the day Jesus died and listed 10 persons." So we didn't send them. So what we did, we had Jim write a form letter to him and say, so-and-so requested that we send you this book. However, our policy is we don't send it by third-party request. So if you want the book, we'd be happy to send it to you. Please just return the request in this envelope. And I think we got about 8 back on that basis. Okay, so we'll send it to him. He says, I have no funds for stamps. Remember, one prisoner was really something. He said, I can't tithe, but he sent 6 37-cent stamps. And, you talk about an effort. Here you are locked up in prison, and, you can't go any place, you can't do anything, and you don't know what privileges they have, and so many of them are locked up 23 hours a day in their cell and get out for 1 hour, and, they sleep on virtually stoned because they make many of the bunks. They can't trust them to make regular bunks because they'll make knives and daggers and all kinds of things out of the things that they have right there in their prison cell. So the prisoners themselves have reduced everything down to stainless steel built into the wall, or cement walls with a cement bed coming out of the wall. Now, I don't know what kind of mattress they have or whatever, but when we got those stamps, it was really quite, his letter was also quite moving, that he wanted to thank us for it and send a little something in, and so he sent 7 37-cent stamps. Since that last letter, my jail has... My jail I'm housed at has allowed me 5 free letters a week, so I thought I would rewrite you all again. My present Bible I struggle to understand. I am serious about the Lord and wish to learn as much as possible through His teachings. I'll greatly appreciate the Bible. So we'll get it to him. Then here's another letter from a prisoner. And as I mentioned, we had times when the chaplain wrote and said, we need a clarification on the cost of these books, that we have to have a letter stating that no time in the future will the prisoner or the facility be held liable for any cost for this. So we had, I wrote him a nice letter and said, yeah, you know, we send these out as part of our public service to help rehabilitate those who are incarcerated. So what we do now, every time we get a request for some literature from someone in prison, we fill it and then we put the letter back in the package that we mail the stuff with, so they know that they had written for it and that we supplied it at their request. And that way it gets through, because we had some return. Well, you're not registered is one of the organizations to send mail to our facility. So that's how we've done that. Here's another one here from Norfolk, Virginia. First of all, I'd like to extend greetings and warm wishes to you and all the people of your congregation. I'd also like to thank you personally for the New Testament's original order that I received back on March 27th. It has been truly both a blessing and a great inspiration, as it greatly increased my knowledge and understanding of scriptures. And we do this in hopes that when it comes time for them to get out, that they're going to have read and studied enough of the New Testament and also the different things that we have in there in the way of commentary and appendices, that it's going to help give them a clearer thinking whether God calls them or not. At least it will give them a clearer thinking to stay out of the clutches of the law. Because when you get out and you have the parole and, you know, they're right there and the smallest violation, they get you and throw you back in and incarcerate you again. So we certainly want to do that to help them. As you know, you've received a number of requests for your New Testament from other inmates here at the same facility. This is due to the fact that those who are here are so inclined to view it as equally as impressed as I at the wealth of information it contains. It's truly impressive piece of work. So then thank you for it. Want to catalog for others. He says, I'm not going to be incarcerated forever, and I'd like at some point to purchase copies to give as gifts to other members of our family. I'd also like this opportunity to ask you to help me understand the scriptures on clean and unclean meats. So we'll do that. Yes, the pork that you receive at the facility is unclean. Now, here's another letter. This one's from Canada. He says, I want firstly to say how much I appreciate your in-depth sermons and study materials as well as other material. It's quite evident a great deal of research has gone into your published work, especially the New Testament, which is quite refreshing and excellently supported commentary. I would like to know if I may request two more copies for a couple of individuals I believe will profit immensely from this translation. I've been a member of a small church group here since leaving Worldwide back in 1978. But that time, and no doubt some years prior to then, I was the handwriting was already well engraved on the wall as the direction it was headed. For the last 27 years, I managed a Canadian branch of this group. However, due to internal problems, this group divided into two separate churches. I continue to support one longtime pastor, and that half of the church split. But as I have been recipients of so much good material from you, I would like to give financial support via my tithes. Also received tapes from the Canadian office from Wayne Stenhouse. So that was a nice letter. Here's one from Australia. Now, what we will see that we, with the, especially with the website, we're beginning to reach a lot of people, and that fills in with this. Let's come to Isaiah, Isaiah 55. And I think what we will see is this. We are dealing with two remnants. One is a remnant from the churches of God, who want the truth and want to get out from under all the control and political things that go on. The other remnant are those people in the world that God is dealing with that we don't know who God is dealing with. And we'll see that with the different letters and things that we have. But here it says in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there seeking the Lord, one way or the other. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. See, the thing that we need to really understand is this. Even though we are to keep the commandments of God, which we are, that's true, Christ is interested in mercy and not sacrifice. Because when there is mercy and forgiveness and repentance, then there is a desire then to do what is right. And so this is the key thrust in what we need to keep in mind. Then he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, you stop and think about this whole analogy that he's bringing out here, which is this. Where does rain and snow come from? Well, it comes from the ocean with the evaporation of water. The winds drive the clouds inland. It rains and it snows, and then it comes down in streams, and then, of course, later water comes down in the summer when the snow is melting, so there's always water coming in the stream until even late fall. So it shows the whole process. There are many different things going on in what God is doing. So if we, in faith, do what God wants us to do with the things that he's given us to do, then he will make that prosper. Now here, verse 11, key. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. So that's why it's important that what we write and what we teach then has to do with the words of God. Because all the words, even the written words of God, came out of his mouth, right? Or they are God-breathed. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing that I whereunto I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace and so forth and so on. Now, some of these things are from the website and so forth. Now, this is to our office in Sydney. We found this email address on the website of Biblical Truth Ministries and hope you can help us with our request to obtain some of the books mentioned in different sermons. Is it possible to get the books through Sydney, or do we have to send to them for the States? We'd also like to know if the Post Office Box 1574 is the right address for sending tithe money to support this work. We have come across this site while looking for some answers regarding the Passover and have been wonderfully blessed by the sermons from Fred Calder. We have come, as so many of us, from WCG background, and it's great to be spiritually fed again with the truth of God, which had fallen so badly by the wayside. So there is the one remnant we are dealing with. See, and as long as we remember this, as long as there's life, there's hope. And as long as there's choice, they can choose to repent. And so God hasn't given up on them yet. Remember the 99 faithful and the one that went astray. Well, now there are more than one that has gone astray, and so God is going to deal with them in their lives in different ways. So it's interesting that they found the website. Because you can go on and do a Google search. Biblical Truth. You can find Biblical Truth Ministries. I don't know on what page of the search it would be on or whatever, but anyway, it's there. If you have a mailing list, would you please put us on it so we can keep receiving the information as it comes? Would we be able to get these books? Passover, Harmony, New Testament, Revelation Chart. And by the way, with the Revelation series, we've got all of these sermons that are listed here with the two charts. I think we have 41 sermons altogether for the whole series. And I'm glad that Jim keeps track of these things, because I just do them, give them to be copied, and they're stored away. And when Jim first started helping me, he says, well, do you have a list? I said, no, I don't have a list. He said, well, do you have these categorized by category? I said, no, I don't have them categorized by category. So he did. So we've got it all right here, see? And we have the two charts. Now, let me read another one here. Whoop, here it is. This also from Australia. Dear Roy, now he's the one who oversees everything down there, Roy Asante. Thank you for your quick reply. I've been downloading sermons from the last month from the website and put them on an iPod to listen to. So don't worry about sending me tapes for weekly sermons, but I would like to receive the Revelation series on MP3 CD. There's a man down there who put them on MP3 CDs. So I could listen to them as a Bible study, and maybe one of the books of the New Testament, also a catalog, would be a great help to us with future requests. We have been attending UCG here and keeping the holy days with them the last few years, but we would love the video DVD you mentioned of the Feast of Tabernacles last year. I hope it's not too much. Otherwise, just send what you can. It's hard for us to choose, as we feel we have come across a box of treasure and are very grateful for the truth that is spoken. Now, here's someone brand new. Now, I'll talk about some of the statistics on the website here in a little bit, because I think you'll be very surprised. Now, here's a man. Now, let's look. We just read that there. Seek the Lord. Let's come here to Matthew then. Let's come here to Matthew. Matthew 7 and verse 6. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it shall be opened. Now that's a promise. Now God is going to back up his word and do it. Now, as times get more difficult, there are going to be a lot of people wondering what's going on. And the way Israel always has been, what happens when trouble comes? They seek God. And in every case, God tests their sincerity, correct? Yes, all you have to do is go back and read the whole experience of Israel in the book of Judges. Whenever they got in trouble, they cried out to the Lord. You know, just like with 9/11, they didn't do it in sincerity, but nevertheless, they cried out to the Lord. You know, God bless America, all assembled in their churches and synagogues and all that sort of thing. Okay. So, this is a promise that Jesus has given, and he stands by it and will make a way. So if God is using us to make a way for these people, then that's what we should do. Now, here's a man, another one from Canada. It says, Dear Fred, I've been looking for the truth in Christian faith doctrines for many years now there. Now, here's the other remnant. See, we talked about the remnant in the church. Now, here's the remnant in the world. I was raised an Anglican, but stopped frequenting church services just before my teen years, as so many do. For the last few years, I visited many different churches only to find that they made me feel unsure, if not suspicious, of their teaching. As I started out, what are they hiding? However, for the last year or so, a good friend of mine, whom you baptized last April, and during the last part of Unleavened Bread in Arizona, informed me of your site and its teachings. Since then, I've been listening to most of your sermons via downloading them and, of course, studying the scriptures. Now, what we did to make it easier to download was this. We had them all on Real Play, which was a slow download. So we converted them all over to MP3, which gives a fast download. Plus, we didn't know it. It opened up on searches on three other search sites, which list all MP3 presentations over the web. So over the internet, rather. So anyway, that makes it easier for it. Okay. I've been very pleased to say that I finally have found what I've been looking for. I'd like very much to be added to your mailing list. Please forward me any and all material to help a beginner study the Bible. So we sent him New Testament, you know, day Jesus died, and Harmony of the Gospels, and then emailed or faxed the letter on to Wayne up in Canada so he can follow up from there. Your sermons and teachings are very inspirational and helped me to find the truth and deal with many life issues, not only from my past, but also from my past life, but day-to-day things now. So here's a man seeking God's way. Now, in all of it, what we need to realize is this. In being able to help people like this, we need to have the understanding that Paul gave here in 1 Corinthians 4. And when these things come along, and letters like this we're very happy to receive and so forth, Dolores is my ego smasher down there, and she always helps me, and she tells me every sermon, just talk. Just talk. So I just talk. And if I don't just talk, she lets me know I didn't just talk, which is fine. See? Because very few of the rest of you would do it. So she does it. In that case, she's a good policeman for me. But here's the thing we all need to keep in mind. Because of the problems that they had in the church at Corinth, here, 1 Corinthians 4, he's talking about his ministry and service and so forth. And, of course, all of us need to keep a perspective on our lives and what we're doing and where we're going and so forth and everything that we do. So he says here, verse 1, so then let every man regard us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, with that then, you can just put in your notes there, Matthew 20, that those who do the teaching are not to exalt themselves over those they are teaching. But the most important thing that those who are teaching must do is this. Not to have people follow them as wonderful, obedient puppy dogs, but to teach them to become like the teacher. That's what Jesus said. It's sufficient that the disciple become as the teacher. And now in this time, in this age, we have a lot of people who are capable of teaching others on a one-to-one basis because of the things that they have learned. And if they don't feel up to it, they can say, well, here's a book, here's a booklet, here's a tape, try this website. And all of those things will help. See, verse 2, beyond that, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. In other words, we've got to be faithful to God. Now, this applies to all of us because we're all stewards of God's Spirit, see. We've got to be faithful to God. We've got to be faithful with the Word of God. We've got to be faithful in yielding to God and staying close to God, because otherwise, if we don't, that which we have will be taken from us, see. So he says, verse 3, but to me, because they were all judging him, he says, it's an insignificant matter that I'm judged by you or by a man's standard, and neither do I judge myself. Now, I'm not conscious of anything against myself, yet I am not justified by this. So he's saying, look, I'm not justified if there is nothing that I have done wrong. That doesn't make me any better. Therefore, he says, for the one who is judging me is the Lord. Therefore, Do not judge anything before the time. Wait until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And I think that's what's happening now with a lot of this Gnostic stuff. Remember what Jesus said. That which has been spoken in secret in the darkness will be shouted from the housetops. And now with all of these Gnostic things coming out, what is it going to do? It's going to expose the degree of Gnosticism that the various Protestant and Catholic groups have within their own religion. And especially the Mormons, because they talk about the spirit or the spark of life that's in heaven and has got to come down and possess a human body. That's why there needs to be polygamy and umpteen million kids. So it is the purest Gnostic religion of our day. And how did it come about? By enlightenment by Joseph Smith. And I know Dolores and I, when we were up in Salt Lake, we went through the museum down there at the Mormon Church Center, and it shows a depiction of the grove. Now, if you read about groves in the Bible, you understand that's not of God. Where Joseph Smith was knocked on his back. Now, you never worship God on your back. You're worshiping Satan. And a light suddenly showed and said, "My church has died out." And Jesus said it wouldn't. And I looked up that location years ago where Joseph Smith allegedly had this vision. And of course, who's the one who comes to enlighten? The great imposter, Satan. And that's the whole basis of Gnosticism, that you enlighten to spark the divine that's within you to unite with the divine that's in the heavens. So I looked up the location where that took place, and I looked in the history of the church that we had at that time, and sure enough, 50 miles from where that took place was a Church of God Seventh Day. Well, the church hadn't died out. And if it was so important to write all of these things on these gold tablets to preserve them, why did you not ever produce them, which would have been better than your rendition that you wrote? So you see, we have to let God do the judging. Don't judge before the time. Who'll bring the light to hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the motives of all hearts. And then shall each one receive praise from God. Now these things, brethren, I have applied to Paulos and myself for your sake, that in us you may learn not to think of men above, beyond what is written, so that no one among you is puffed up on behalf of one of us against the other. So he's referring back to the beginning. Some of you say I'm of Paul, some of Apollos, some of Peter, some of, you know, and some of Christ and so forth. Verse 7. For what makes you superior to others? For what did you have that you did not receive? And that's really a statement we all need to understand. We have nothing we didn't receive. Everything we have comes from God. Everything. But if you also received it, why are you boasting as if you did not receive it? In other words, you discovered it on your own without any help from God. See, that can't possibly be. So then he's a little cynical here with them because they were getting all spiritually uppity-uppity. So he says, very cynically, it's sarcasm here, he says, now you are satiated. You have all knowledge. Now you have been enriched. Just put in there Revelation 3 and the Laodicean church, okay? You have reigned without us. I mean, you're in charge of everything. And I would that you did reign so that we might also reign with you. For I suppose that God made us apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. Now, that's what Paul thought of, and it did take place in his life, right? And it did take place in the life of all the apostles. And if they were the ones that God directly chose and inspired to write the New Testament, what makes us think that we're any better than that? We're not. See? Besides, we're all appointed to death one way or the other, right? Yes, indeed. Where we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for the sake of Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are glorious, but we are without honor. And so you see, being a minister or teacher of God and the Word of God is not all it's cracked up to be. Because everyone's chipping away at you. Everyone is looking for something to get on you. And so that's why our behavior needs to be circumspect. Our faith in Christ needs to be the way that it is. And we need to understand the principle, we do not have anything that we didn't receive, period. So if we understand some of God's Word, God revealed it, right? If we are led by God's Spirit, who led us? God did. If we teach and preach things that inspire people and want them to attain to the kingdom of God, who gave the inspiration? Well, God did. So in all of these things, though I mentioned in it, I keep this attitude that is here. And I'm just happy to do it. Right? Now here's another one from Canada. Says, thanks once again. In the past, I've had to thank Jan Berg and Wayne in Brockville for your sermons, but now I should thank you. In the last few years, messages I have heard on holy days are about the holy days. The only source of sermons are on your website. Now, I'm going to read something else because, see, there is a principle in the Scriptures. That even that which you think you have, if you don't use it, is going to be taken from you. And we're going to see that there is another wave of remnant that is being created in the other churches of God because they're not teaching on the holy days and things of the holy days, and God is going to either bring them to repentance so they will preach the things on the holy days they need to, or he is going to cast them out and not use them, one way or the other. So he says, I have commented to the minister of the church I attend that his holy day sermons are not relevant. Uh-oh, he just got himself in trouble with the hierarchy. He's a bad boy. And he has the rest of the year for other subjects. But don't let me confine my remarks to that minister only, for other organizations do the same. My thanks are not only for that, but the wealth of printed material and tapes you have showered upon me. I can't help but ask a question, too. I'm not a leader, but a servant. It helps give me pleasure, and the best is when I don't know I've done it. To lead or instruct is something I've always failed at doing. To be told I'm a will be a king or a priest in the kingdom is something I don't desire. So how am I to want what I don't want? Well, just wait. When you're changed to a spirit being, trust me, there will be a change in the thinking process. And also, there are probably many other positions that are not kings and priests and are helpers. For a long time, the only thing I wished for is to be a street sweeper in New Jerusalem, but there will be no dirt there, so the job will be useless. And there will be, it will be useless in the city. I have prayed for a change of heart so that I would want to be a king or priest, but have seen nothing that would lead me in that direction. This leaves me in a sense of hopelessness and depression. I have no sense of direction and don't even know where to look or what to ask for. Well, listen to this tape and that'll help answer your question. Okay? Let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side. Now, here's another letter from the remnant within the church, because within the church, you have two categories. You have the remnant of the faithful that want to obey God, but for the sake of fellowship have stuck around while a lot of different things have been going on, and inside they have a lot of turmoil and doubt and things like this. So this next letter here tells a lot about it in one of the congregations of UCG down in Arizona. This letter is for Fred. There's a lot of emotional and spiritual turmoil going on in the churches of God today. My husband and I are experiencing firsthand the confusion and manipulation that appears to be taking place in UCG. My in-laws are now attending the Church of God David Hume's group. Well, it's just a little different shade of the same thing. So, how much abuse do you want to keep taking? You have to ask yourself. However, in all this that I am witnessing, they both seem to be the same breed of church. You got that correct. See? Almost every Sabbath that I attend at UCG, the sermons are getting more and more heavy-handed, especially on tithes and offerings. Well, the reason is that they are losing out on tithes and offerings because they haven't repented and returned to God the way that they should have, and the ministers who are there are more interested in fulfilling their years of service so they can retire. And if they retire, then there's got to be more tithes and offerings to take care of that. So, the ideology coming out of headquarters seems to be one of fierce control. Yes, you can't dare let them go anyplace else because you're going to lose the money. They don't care whether the doctrine is correct, you see. When you have corporate churches with corporate ministers preaching the corporate line, that's what you're going to have. That only the doctrinal committee can decide what is right for the member to believe or to practice. See, now that has to be controlled that way when they don't teach you how to make your own decisions, make your own judgments. See, I'm literally sick from all this emotional and spiritual turbulence. I'll give you the solution in just a minute here. None of the churches of God seem to be going the way God has outlined in the scripture, a way of love, give not get. My husband and I feel lost and rejected by these churches because we don't submit to their authority. Well, why should you submit to their authority, see? Submit to the authority of God and the Word of God. We strive to submit only to God's authority, but the pressure from these churches and the leaders in charge is monumental. I'm emailing this letter to you to ask you to pray for us that God's spirit of comfort and peace and understanding will lead us in the right direction. Well, you do have to take some steps, and I'll tell you what those will be in just a minute, and that you may offer some words of understanding in return, that you understand what we are going through and that we are not crazy, not totally alone. Well, every time God begins to correct the church for an excessive Laodicean attitude, this is what happens. So you are in the middle of seeing the correction of God to cause turmoil within the church so that those who are seeking the truth will seek the truth instead of a political solution and position with the current group. Because all you have to do to get along there is check your brain at the door. And be sure and write all your sermon notes with a yellow pencil so that it conforms to the doctrinal committee's instruction to you. See? Well, this is what happens. This is what happens when people, whether they be ministers or brethren, take a position instead of seeking the truth of God. And whenever you take a position, you're going to be stuck, and the end result is going to be a lot of emotional upheaval and turmoil and things like that. Thank you so much for all the tapes and books you have sent us. You're welcome. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy the sixth chapter. And let's see the solution that God has given. Here's what you need to do. Let's begin right here in verse 1 because it flows together. And like everything that Paul writes, a chapter is almost one long, endless sentence. Now, you can do that in the Greek, but in the English, it's terrible. And it's awfully hard to punctuate it so it reads good in the English in many cases. Verse 1, let as many slaves as are under the yoke of servitude esteem their masters worthy of all respect so that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Do not let those who have believing masters despise them because they are brethren. Why would they do that? Because here's what happens when people are in the church. Because they haven't grown to a place of real love and mercy and grace and understanding. Now, we do have to make judgments about right and wrong. But what happens then is that they begin making judgments which are not theirs to make. Now, you see this in the media all the time, don't you? So we are caught up today in the same kind of thing. See? Because what happens when you see someone in the church do something that is wrong? Remember 1 John 5, if they sin a sin not unto death, pray for them. God will deal with them. God is capable of this. Okay? Rather, let them serve them even better, because they are believing and beloved who are being helped by the good service. These things teach and exhort. Now, verse 3, here's the key. Here is what you need to do. Now, you can look at this, the first two verses here, as applying to even those ministers who are not teaching the way that they ought to do. You need to make a judgment in relationship to what you believe after you see that what they are teaching is not according to the Word of God. You have to make the choice. If anyone teaches any different doctrine, now you go through 1 and 2 Timothy and study in your concordance, the word doctrine. See how many times that comes up. Doctrine is important. Doctrine does divide. Doctrine divides truth from error, right from wrong, the spiritual from the carnal. See? If anyone teaches any different doctrine and does not adhere to the sound words, now here is the judgment you need to make according to your situation. And I'm sure there are many of those of you out there in cassette land who receive the tapes that attend other churches of God, which is just fine. But sooner or later, you're going to come to a crossroad like this young couple here. And you're going to have to make a decision, what am I going to do? Now, for some people, it comes sooner. For other people, it comes later. But nevertheless, the decision is going, you're going to have to make it. See? Do not adhere to the sound words, even those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine that is according to godliness. So here we have doctrine, what, twice within just a couple of verses, you see. Now notice, this is what you are suffering from, because they are not teaching the things according to godliness. Now what are the things concerning godliness? Repentance, mercy, faith, grace, understanding, loving God, and keeping commandments of God in that attitude. Too many times they put keeping the commandments of God according to our authority of the hierarchy as we tell you to do, and what is that going to do to you? That's going to put you in the emotional turmoil that you are in right now, because God's Spirit in you is telling you this is not right. So that's where you are. And concerning the ministers that do that and the people that go along with it, verse 4, he is proud, that means filled with vanity, not the Spirit of God, knows nothing, because if you teach men's way instead of God's way, you know nothing. Rather, he has a morbid attraction to questions and disputes over words, from which come envy, arguments, blasphemy, wicked suspicions, vain reasonings of men who have been corrupted in their minds and are destitute of the truth. Now, that's where it ultimately comes to. As a church degenerates and as the minister degenerates. Because, you see, that's why in the Bible you find very clearly human nature goes in cycles. And even organizations, even the churches of God go through cycles, as I've mentioned before. So we have to be on guard against this. Now, verse 5. Vain reason is of men who have been corrupted in their minds to do what? To please a hierarchy of men. Or to serve your own pet doctrines. Or to rule over people that God has said teach them how to rule their own lives. Men who believe that gain is godliness. That's why they ask for more tithes and offerings all the time. From such, withdraw yourself. That's the solution. God commands you to leave. You leave them and go to God. Now, if you have no place to attend, don't worry about attendance. Stay at home, study the Word of God, seek the truth of God. We'll supply you with as much as we can supply you with, and we're not the only and sole source, of course, but with what we can do, we will. But the command is, withdraw yourself. And when I resigned from Worldwide Church of God, these are the scriptures that I read leading up to my announcement that I was resigning. And even to this day, they say that I was disfellowshipped. Well, if you resign before you're disfellowshipped, you have resigned. You have not been disfellowshipped. It's after the fact. That's why to this day, if you want to know the circumstances under which I left Worldwide Church of God, write in for the resignation sermon, which is a recording of the live sermon, and for the rest of the story, number one and number two, and you'll get a thumbnail sketch of the background as to why we left. But when I gave that sermon of resignation, Leroy Neff was and Ron Reedy were sitting there in the audience. And I kept praying, oh God, please don't let them come up and forcibly remove me off the stage here. And I think over the years, I think I've understood why Leroy Neff didn't do that, because he was very close to Herbert Armstrong and those all involved, and I think in his heart of hearts, as he heard what was being said, he agreed with it and wished it could be done. But because he let me speak, he was removed to another job. Leroy Neff is really a nice man. So was his son. So this is what anyone in this position needs to do. Withdraw yourself. To begin with, stay home, pray, study, have peace, and if you want to be real inspired with something, buy one of the best versions of the Messiah on CD and listen to it. It will inspire you and uplift you and really help give you a good perspective on the Sabbath, and begin to study the things in the Scriptures. Don't try and come up with new doctrine. Draw close to God. Let God's Spirit be with you. And then ask God to lead you and guide you in what needs to be, because verse 6 gives you the answer. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So if you stay home and get your emotions and your mind squared around and centered on Christ and God the Father and the Bible, you're going to start having contentment instead of emotional and spiritual upheaval. Then the Sabbath will become a time when you fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and His Spirit is with you, and it's evident that it's with you. Then make the decision what you need to do based upon that. Now then, here again, verse 7 it says, for we brought nothing into the world. And you can verify that just by reaching down right at your belt size and find where your belly button is, and you realize that your mother brought you into the world, and your father was the one who begot you, and goes back and back and back and back and back through the whole process of human creation through procreation from Adam and Eve. But he says, But having food and clothing, we should be satisfied with these. For those who desire to become rich, now apply this to a church that became rich. Apply this to the Laodiceans, Revelation 3. Fall into temptation and a snare, and that's right where you are, caught in the middle of this congregation. And many foolish and hurtful lusts, which cause men to sink into destruction and perdition. So as we have said, going back years ago, if you're going to repent and change, you need to come to God all the way and completely repent and completely change, and don't go back and reconstruct the thing that caused the failure in the first place. Because if you do, you're again going to come to the point of destruction again. Just like the children of Israel who repented, but not all the way. God had mercy on them. And then what happened? They got all involved in the same old worshiping other gods and carnal things that they did before. So here's the solution to get out of it, you see. Then, asking for money, for the love of money is the root of all evils. And that's what happens within the church. So whenever money comes into the church, it must be spent on preaching the gospel and not on expensive things for those who are in the ministry or in authority. Needs to be. That's what we try and do. By which some, having striving after riches, were seduced from the faith and have impaled themselves with many sorrows. Now, impaling is quite a thing. That goes either from the throat all the way through to the other end, or from the other end all the way through up into your brains. So that is a vivid description of an awfully ugly death. So then he says, but you, man of God, flee these things. So you are to flee those who teach wrong doctrines, and you are to flee those things where this kind of atmosphere is presented within a church. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't fight all of those people with their self-ideas, pride, vanity, and lust after money. Go home. Get your head screwed on. Get your heart right. Get everything. Repent to God. Ask Him for peace and contentment. And then make your decision what you're going to do. Take hold of eternal life, to which you were also called, and did profess a good profession in the presence of many witnesses. Now here's another letter from a woman in Missouri. Now I want to read this because it will show how God deals with people who have been longtime members and who have gone through a lot of things, but God has never given up on, and even though they've had their faults and problems, they've never given up on God. And how that something, as we started out, that God lets His word go out, just like the rain, and it trickles down, and it takes a long time for it to get down to the level to where it can feed and nourish the plants that are growing. So this woman writes, thank you and the Christian Biblical Church of God Brethren for all the materials you have sent to me. And we send them out free. Now, some people do buy them through York Publishing or Amazon.com, but all that money goes back into the church to pay for expenses or postage, one of the two. I think we're pretty close to $10,000 on that down through the last year and a half or so. So, you know, there's not much you're going to make by trying to sell books. I'm still reading the Passover book. Isn't it interesting? What is the key thing on your relationship with God? The right Passover. And what is one of the things that helps bring these people back to where they need to be? The Passover book. I appreciate the way you leave no stone unturned when you study a subject. You are correct about all the confusion concerning the Passover. I've listened to very faithful, dedicated ministers who have become confused about between the two evening subject. I didn't understand it until I heard you explain it on a tape you sent me. Thank you so much for the tapes. They are a lifeline to me. You may be surprised that you were my first minister. You counseled me for baptism and sent Rand Milich to baptize me in the bathtub at my home in Honeyville, Utah, in December 1970. Now, how do you baptize in a bathtub? Well, very carefully. So the way I do it, I have a piece of plastic that, you know, black plastic or clear plastic, either one. I've done this many times. And I take some masking tape and I tape it up around the sides of the bathtub. And then where the spout comes out, I don't tape that up until the last. And I run the water all just about ready to overflow the top of the tub. So when the person gets in it, the water will rise and there will be enough to baptize them. And then we won't spill it on the floor. So that works the best. Now, I remember we had to baptize Robert Greisinger. And he was about 6'4" and had a regular tub. And so Judith Anderson said, "Well, how are we going to do this?" And I said, "Watch. I'll need your help." So I had her hold up a corner of it, you know, because you can't tape it up in thin air, but just up on the walls. But the other end of it, you have someone hold another corner and another one hold the other corner. And then you let the person get in, and then I get down and have them let the corner down just a little bit so I can baptize the person. But we got this 6'3" man baptized in about a 5'6" tub. See, so it can be done. Yeah. Now, continuing this letter, because this will show quite a few things here. "It was good to hear your voice again after all these years. The last time I saw you was at the Ladies Literary Club in building in Salt Lake City. That's where we held services. You said that you were taking a sabbatical to study in Pasadena, and you asked us to pray for you because of some writing that you were doing. Sometime later, I was attending the feast in Squaw Valley and bought a copy of your First Harmony of the Gospels. Through all the moving and all the years, I hung on to that book because it was scripture and contained so much valuable information, and of course, I knew the author. It was from that book that I first understood that Jesus was the Wave Sheaf offering. A friend gave me your phone number and told me to call to get a free copy of your new version of the harmony, so I called and requested a copy. I feel like I had a part in your book because I prayed for you, and I read your book many times through the years. So just cast your bread upon the water. Look at all of the years. See? I have a gift for you. I hope you will enjoy it. In October 2004, I was listening to the song Shenandoah, and I was trying to pick up the tune on my keyboard, and before I had finished, word started coming to me. I got pen and paper, and that's how I wrote Endless Ages. It took about 20 minutes. I could see a pattern forming, so I went with it. I hope you will be able to hear God's plan of salvation in the song. My sister encouraged me to have it copyrighted. That's why we made the CD. Bill, that is her husband, made copies and the cover from his computer. Now, we can't play it, but let me read you the words. Endless Ages. I don't know Shenandoah, so I don't know how it fits together. But, O Lamb of God, give us your mercy. Cleanse our hearts, forgive our sins. O Lamb of God, we need your mercy, today and every day throughout the endless ages. O Holy One, give us your Spirit. Live in us and do your will. O Holy One, we need your Spirit, today and every day throughout the endless ages. O Prince of Peace, bring us your love. Raise us with a life unending. O Prince of Peace, we need your love, today and every day throughout the endless ages. O King of Kings, bring your peace to the earth and heal the nations. O King of Kings, we need your peace, today and every day throughout the endless ages. O Righteous God, bring us your city from on high, the New Jerusalem. O Righteous God, we bow before you today and every day throughout the endless ages. Melba Howard, guitar by Kirby Clark. So I'm very happy to receive that, and yes, we'll play it, we'll listen to it. My husband Bill spends a lot of time on his computer and watches TV. He has lung disease and stays on oxygen all the time. He will soon be 70. I just turned 65 last month. My health is not bad for an old lady. God is good to me. He carried me through the church breakup. For a while, I didn't know what to do. I was one of the walking wounded. So again, here we're dealing with the second remnant. Okay. God didn't give up on me. I was like a broken reed and a smoking flax. He mercifully cut me in his loving hands and gently blew on me until there was a spark and then a flame. That's all about repenting, you know, as God says. So you're right about the church. We had become lukewarm. I personally had to rebuild from the foundation up because we weren't being taught the love of God. So God always lays it upon the ministers, doesn't he? Because they're responsible for teaching. Yes, indeed. We were being told that we were called into the church to pray and paint, to support the work. We were dying of starvation for spiritual food. And that's true. Until recently, I wouldn't tell God I loved him because I wasn't sure that I did love him, and I didn't want to lie to him. I was in fear of him because we had been so pumped full of fear religion and not really taught the love of God. Some of our teachers were just clueless as to where they are, where they were. It was a relief to hear you say you don't want to rule over anyone and get between God and his people. And I can say amen, because what happens? You don't have a relationship with God when that happens. And then the ministers end up making the decisions for everybody, and you build no character because you don't make any decisions. See? I thank God for his ministers who have remained faithful. We all need to love each other and quit throwing stones at each other. Thank you so much for everything. Please accept this offering. Bill is not religious, but he was so impressed with your generosity of, that is, of the books we sent, that when I said I wanted to send an offering, he said, yes, we should send him $100. Brethren at church are really enjoying the New Testament you send, because I sent extra to give to other ones, and have a feeling some of them will be visiting your website. Well, let's talk about the website. We just did some statistics here, and to show you that we are reaching well beyond what we have even thought we were doing, especially since we converted to MP3 on the website for all the sermons. So here are the top 50 audio downloads, January 1 to June 7th, 2006. Number 1, 2,713 full downloads. Not that, this is not just part, but this is a full download of the whole sermon. 2,713 times, you divide that by 6, so that's over 400 a month. Prophecy Today, June 14th, 2003. Number 2, 2,709 times, and all of these run about 25 gigabytes. No. The 25 gigabytes is the total amount that the 2,700 included. Sorry about that. Number 2 is Demons, Troubles, Emotions, and Healings, 2,709 times. 26.55 gigabytes. Now, a gigabyte is how much? That's 1,000 megabytes, which is 100,000 bytes then, huh? A megabyte is 1 million bytes, so that's 26,555,000 individual bytes of data. Then, number 3, God's Greatest Gift of Grace, 9/15/03, 2,680. Sodom and the Mark of the Beast, 6/28/03, 2,678. Number 5, Are You Still Shackled to Rome? August 30th, 2003. We need to get some of the more recent ones up there, but it'll be coming. 2,596. Your Word is the Truth. 2,491. Yes, a lot of these are in 93. We have another one down here about number 10, what the world would have been like if Adam and Eve had not sinned, 1835. And then it goes through all of them, and here's the grand total. 46,141 individual downloads of sermons in that time. So we have more and more people going to the website, and we have a variety of them, from brand new people to those who are long timers in the church. And the total number of gigabytes is 252.18 gigabytes. So that has to be 4,552,000,000 would have to be. 4,552,000,000 180,000 individual bytes. Now, all of that's just sitting there on the website for people to come to and download. So we're very happy that she did this, and we listened to the CD, and it sounded very, very good, so she's to be commended for doing that, but thank God for the inspiration, because that's where everything comes. We have nothing that we didn't receive. However, on the other hand, God does expect us to work, to develop, to think, and to apply ourselves. Now, let's come to Luke 19, and let's see why these trials and difficulties have come along, and what we are to do about it, as instructed by Paul, that if anyone does not bring the right doctrine, then we're to separate ourselves from it. Now, in our individual lives, this is why God does not want to have a corporate hierarchical ministry that runs and controls people. What God wants is this: by free choice in loving God and Jesus Christ and the use of the Holy Spirit in your life, He wants you to submit to Him and His Spirit so that He, with His Spirit, is leading you, is giving you the self-control through His Spirit, because He wants you involved with Him and what He's doing. His work is not just a work that is by fiat. His work is by cooperation with His creation, that is us, because He made us to be cooperating with God. So this is why we have the parable here. And He says, let's pick it up here in verse 11. It says, now as they were listening to these things, He went on to speak a parable, because He was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Therefore, He said to them, a certain nobleman set out to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. Now, that's obviously Christ. But in the time of the Roman Empire, when they had, for example, like Pontius Pilate, and then we have Tiberius, in order for them to rule in the area of Palestine, they had to journey to Rome and to be coronated in Rome and come back. So in those cases, it's a 2 or 3 year delay from the time that they were coronated until the time they came and officially took over the government. So everyone understood what He was saying with this. And after calling 10 of His servants, now apply this to, say, one of the leaders of the Roman Empire, or you can apply it to Christ. It's to Him. He says, I'm going to a distant country. I'm going to ascend to the heaven to God the Father's throne. So He called His 10 servants, and He said to, and He gave them 10 pounds and said to them, trade until I come back. Keep working. Make a profit. Increase. Now, if you're going to have a setback, don't worry about it. Work and make it up. But His citizens hated Him and sent an ambassador after Him, saying, we are not willing to have this man reign over us. These are the Jews and the Catholics and the Protestants, see,
Who is to do the reigning over the individual? Christ.
And it came to pass that when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he directed that those servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, in order that he might know what each one had gained by trading. Now you notice the free will that God gives. You are to decide. You are to use the things that are right and good. You're to know good from evil, right from wrong. And you are to, in the sense of business, make the right investments, but this has to do with character, or so in the sense of developing the right character. You have to know what the right character is. You're to make the decision. So he called them to know what they did. Verse 16, the first one came up saying, Lord, your pound has produced 10 pounds. Then he said, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful with a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. So you see, what God has for us in the kingdom of God is going to be so much greater than we have ever thought. And I think that if we begin to look at the great scope of the prophecies that are coming as pictured through the Holy Days, and look at the events that are transpiring in the world, and see what a great task it is going to be to get all of this straightened out, and to realize what God has called us to, the greatest calling that there is. See, there's no time to let up. There's no time to get lazy. There's no time to get bored, because it's a fantastic and tremendous thing that God has called us to. And if we take that attitude, we're not going to say, you know, how great I am. We're going to say, boy, thankful for God, thankful for His Spirit, thankful for His way. And the second one came, verse 18, saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. Then he also said to this one, and you be over 5 cities. But another came saying, Lord, behold your pound, which I kept laid up in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you're a harsh man. Now, if you don't do what God says, yes, he is harsh. But if you repent, rely on God's mercy and grace, as Jesus said, take my yoke, for it is easy and light. But if you don't want to do the commandments of God, if you don't want to yield to the Holy Spirit, it's going to seem harsh. Then he accused him. Talk back to God. Now, did not the Laodiceans do the same thing? They talk back to God and say, I'm rich and increased with goods? Yes. You take up what you did not lay down. How dare you do that to me, Lord? And you reap what you did not sow. Who is to do the sowing? The one he gave the talents to. See? Then he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I am a harsh man, taking up what I did not lay down, and reaping what I did not sow. Because you see, it's a spiritual thing that's being done, not a physical thing that's being done. Then why didn't you deposit my money in the bank so that at my coming I might have received it with interest? Now that's very interesting, isn't it? You sit down and you figure out interest, say, at 5%, or let's just say interest at 10%, and you calculate that compounded over 50 years, and you see what you come up with. You produced a lot. And then he said to those who were standing by, take the pound from him, give it to the one who has 10. And what did they say? Oh, that's not fair, Lord. He has 10 pounds. We're all good communists at heart, you know, and let's share this. See, God doesn't work that way. Where would then be the individual initiative, using the Spirit of God and the Word of God and right judgment in things? If it was all communism, what happens when there's communism? Well, everybody gives up on initiative because you're all going to get the same. Very interesting comment was made here, which is this. Why did Christ give it to the one who had the 10 pounds? Because he was efficient and he made 10 pounds with what was given to him.
So what you're going to do is give it to the one who can develop it. See? Now, it also shows this. It shows this, that in the kingdom, our development and growth is just going to start. I mean, we're going to be like newborn babes when we're born again at the resurrection. We got a lot to learn. We have a lot to do. I mean, to live forever and consider everything that's involved, it's going to be a fantastic thing. So the ones that have produced, he gives it to them. That's why he says, verse 26, "For I tell you, to everyone who has, more shall be given. But the one who does not have, even what he has, shall be taken from him." Now then, he says, "Moreover," verse 27, "bring my enemies, those who are not willing for me to reign over them," that's who should rule over you, you see, "and slay them here before me." So to the wicked, he is harsh. To the lazy, he is demanding. To the willing, and the ones who have the vision, who understand what they are doing, who understand the calling of God, they are going to get out, and in spite of every difficulty, every problem that comes along, they are going to go ahead and grow and develop and do the things that God wants. Not to be rewarded in this life. The reward is not in this life. It's going to be when Christ returns. So, anyway, the sermon today is a little different than usual, but it gives you a little understanding of what we are doing and how God is using the things that he has led us to do. And just mentioned in closing, we have lots of books to give out to lots of people. And so whatever you want to give out to help people, because remember what you're doing when you're doing it, you are helping cast the bread of God upon the stream of life to help people, and you never know who will come to repentance. But if it is not out there, and when it's hard to get the information to any other place, then you can help in doing that. And you need to equip yourself so if they have questions, you can answer them. And every one of us need to become like, as we find there in Acts 18, as Aquila and Priscilla. They knew enough of the scriptures, so when Apollos, not knowing anything but the baptism of John, came, they took him aside privately and showed him out of the scriptures about Christ and everything concerning it, and then he was able to preach Christ. So you see, this is what we need to be able to do, and this is why we teach the things the way that we do, to equip you, because the time is going to come, and really now is when God is going to call upon you to help spread the word, because it surely is not going to go on radio and television. That's locked down. Unless you preach what they want, you're not going to say anything. We do have the website. So far, they haven't closed down on it. So until they do, we need to work while we have the light, both to the remnant within the church and the remnant within the world. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.